This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, find the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm Mac Pritchard, founder and publisher of MaxList. To get your dream job, you need clear goals, great skills, and a good network. You also have to know how to look for work. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month on our show, I interview a MaxList reader who found a job they love. Our guest shares how they did it and offers their best job search tips. Our guest today is Lori Aoki. She's the physician recruiter for the Vancouver Clinic in Vancouver, Washington. After moving to Portland 5 years ago, it took Lori a year to find a job. Not surprisingly, she says her search was discouraging at times, but Lori found ways to build resilience. And along the way, she improved her networking skills and her application materials. After 2 years, Lori was ready to change jobs, and the network she built during her first job search came out to help. It put her in contact with a new opportunity. Now Lori uses her job search lessons that she learned back in 2013 to recruit staff for the Vancouver Clinic. In an article you can find on the MaxList website, Lori shares how she persevered through a lot of rejection and came out on the other side. She encourages others to learn from every stage of a job search and to use the support of friends and family to stay happy and healthy. Well, Lori, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, you're the physician recruiter at the Vancouver Clinic, as I mentioned in the introduction. Why do you love your job, Lori?
You know, I love my job now because I get to meet really interesting people and I get to connect them to their dream jobs. And what's more rewarding than that? I mean, it really, I go to work every day. I wake up every day and I go to work and I look forward to going to work, which is how I know that I found a really great job. Because in the past, I've had jobs where I didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I think many of our listeners, including me, I wonder if you had this experience too, that dread on Sunday night when you realize the weekend's over and
yes,
you have to go back to the office.
Yes, and you know, I also feel like I'm contributing to the community at large because I'm bringing physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants to the greater Portland metro area to serve the community, to serve patients. And I'm also helping the success, helping our company grow. So I'm very proud to work at the Vancouver Clinic and to be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah, it sounds very gratifying. Let's talk about that first search that I mentioned in the introduction. What was your biggest challenge when you got here in 2013, here in the Portland area?
My biggest challenge was that I didn't realize there was so much competition for so few jobs in marketing PR. I moved here shortly after the Oregonian went through a layoff, and I didn't think about the fact that I would be sort of competing for positions against people who were well-established in the community. And I had come from television news, public relations, pretty competitive industries, and had always somehow landed on my feet. When I moved to Portland, it was the first time in my life that I had a hard time finding a job. And so I felt like, well, maybe I'm too old. I thought it would happen right away. I moved from a smaller city in central Washington, and I thought moving to a bigger city, no problem. There's lots of jobs there. And I started meeting people, and one woman jokingly told me, why did you move here without bringing your own job? You know, nobody moves to Portland without their own job. I didn't know that. So, yeah, it was discouraging.
Yeah, so there was a lot of competition, but you persevered. Your search took a while. What made the biggest difference when you were looking for the job that you eventually landed?
I think that I had to realize that I had to put myself out there if I was going to have success. I knew that I had to network, so I didn't know hardly any people in Portland, but I knew people who knew people in Portland. So that's where I went first. And so I was able to start meeting people who were connected. I went on what I call a lot of first dates. So one of the people I met through an informational interview told me about MaxList. And so I was on that every day, just hoping there would be a new post that I could, you know, felt like I was qualified for. And so that being connected to MaxList is really kind of what opened the doors for me. I will say that I found a lot of jobs on there, and I got a lot of first interviews. And I got a couple of second interviews, but I never could close the deal. And that was hard.
So I want to talk about that. Why do you think you weren't able to get the offer after one or two conversations?
Looking back now, I think I had the wrong approach. I was really looking at my job search as, I need this job. I really wasn't looking at it as, what can I provide to a company or what problems can I solve for someone? I was looking at it like, you're going to help me. You're going to, you know, and why wouldn't you want to hire me? I'm fantastic. So I really had the wrong mindset when I was going into those interviews. And I also thought that maybe some of my skills were a little rusty. So during that year I was unemployed, I decided to go back to graduate school because I thought maybe that will give me an edge, might put me in the pile for people to look at, you know, because having that master's degree would help. And it also provided me some extra training that I needed. And so I was initially just going to go to grad school for a year and then start looking. But it just so happened that I got accepted to a program. Then I got a full-time job. So I ended up doing both at the same time.
And when you got that job offer for the position that you took while you were in grad school, why do you think that happened? Was it because of the change in mindset?
I think that was a big part of it. It was a job that I had been a finalist for 6 months earlier, and I ended up not getting, and I was devastated. But I had heard a statistic that about 25% of hires don't end up working out. And it just so happened that 6 months later, I was on that company's website, and I saw that the position was open again. So I thought, I swallowed my pride. What do I have to lose? I'll reapply. And the hiring manager had left, and there was a new manager. So he obviously saw something in me that the previous manager didn't see. And so I think having a different attitude, you know, that I have a skill set that I can, you know, bring to this organization and help solve some of their problems and challenges, and also not being so prideful in that, you know, well, I got rejected the first time, you know, I put myself out there again and it worked. The other thing I did is I lowered my salary expectations, which may or may not be a good strategy, but the job that they offered me was, you know, 20% less than I thought I was worth. But I thought, I need to just get into the market. Maybe I just do this job for a little while, but at least I have something on my resume that's local.
That's a hard choice to make. And I know people have to sometimes choose, do I take a position that pays less than I was earning, or do I wait? And I certainly sympathize, because in my own career, there have been times when I've taken lower paying jobs, but there's a dignity and satisfaction that comes from work, isn't there?
There is. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I'm in a two-income household, and I realize that a lot of people don't have that luxury. You know, mine is the second income, so I was able to take a job that paid less. One thing I learned during my job search and talking to headhunters is, you know, I had sort of taken a break from the workforce when my son was born, and I was out for about 4 to 5 years. I didn't think I was out because I was working part-time, but what I learned is that I wasn't able to re-enter where I thought I should, where I left. So I had to take that pay cut in order to work my way back. It only took me about a year, though, a year and a half, to get back to the salary that I thought I was worth.
I want to talk about the job at the Vancouver Clinic that followed, but before we do that, something else you touched on in your article was, after, as you did interviews, you started to go back and look at your application materials and your resume, and you'd make changes, wouldn't you?
Yes, I did. In fact, you know, I listened to a lot of podcasts. I read a lot of blogs. Jenny Foss from Job Jenny, she has a lot of great advice. I retooled my resume. I took her advice, and I wrote every cover letter that was specific to that job. I customized every resume I sent out for every position. You know, I looked for the keywords in the job description. I made sure that was in my cover letter and on my resume. I really took it to heart. I mean, looking for a job, as many people know, is a full-time job. And I guess I was fortunate I was unemployed. I had the time. But I really thought about it. And now that I'm on the other side where I'm hiring people, I can tell when somebody really wants to come work at Vancouver Clinic because they've taken the time to personalize their cover letter. They've done their work in making their CV or their resume readable and legible, and, you know, it makes sense. You'd be surprised. I mean, I hire doctors, nurse practitioners, physician assistants. So many of them don't know how to put together a decent resume. So yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of extra effort, but it's worth it. And I think that that advice, you hear it all the time from people like you, Mac, or from Jenny. You know, they tell you to do these things and it really can pay off.
Another point you touched on in your article is that in that first search back in 2013, you did had a lot of conversations, a lot of informational interviews, you went to events, and you built a network. And that network helped you find your next job, the one you have now, didn't it?
It did, yeah. I think that, you know, going to Mac's List networking events, you know, I would walk in, I don't know a single person in the room except for you, Mac, but you're hosting and you're busy. You know, you just are forced to talk to people, and I don't have a problem with that. But yeah, you start making, you know, getting to know people professionally, and then they may know someone who's hiring, and that's exactly what happened that led to my current position.
And tell me more about that. Did someone call you about the position at the Vancouver Clinic?
I was, I was in a job that I knew wasn't a good fit, and so I had made the decision to leave. And then I said, I'm going to give myself 3 months. If I find something, great. And if I don't, I'm still going to quit because I was miserable in my job. So I just started telling people kind of on the down low. I didn't want my current employer to find out I was looking. And the timing, I think a lot of it is so much of it is beyond our control that it was just the way things lined up. My current boss now at the Vancouver Clinic was looking for a recruiter. She approached somebody I knew through my network, and that person wasn't ready to make a change, but she thought, I know somebody who's looking. Now, why she put me together with that job, because I do not have a background in HR. I had never recruited anybody for anything before, but somehow she thought I might be a good fit for the job. And so, yeah, that's kind of how that came together.
Yeah. I agree with your point about there's so much we can't control during a job search, but I do want to give you a shout out, Lori, for putting out the word. Sometimes people, they know they're unhappy, but they don't know what to do or who to reach out to. But that didn't happen with you. You went out and talked to people, didn't you?
I had to. I mean, I didn't tell a lot of people at work what I was doing. I told maybe two people that I trusted, just in the off chance they knew somebody in the community that might be hiring. I didn't really even know what I wanted to do. All I knew is that I didn't want to do what I was currently doing. And so, I knew one thing I learned about through my job search initially when I first moved here is I tried to apply for jobs in a lot of different industries. My main background's in healthcare. And what that year taught me is that I needed to stay with what I know. And so I knew that the second time around when I was looking for a job, it needed to be in healthcare. So yeah, I figured it didn't hurt telling people I was looking or on the market. I just think, the more you can get out there, the better off you're going to be, because it's like anything social, right? You know, the more people that are looking for you, the more opportunities are going to come your way.
Agreed. Well, Lori, we have to bring it to a close. I would love to hear, and I know our listeners would too, what's your number one job hunting tip?
I think my number one tip, and I may have mentioned this in the blog post, is just be resilient, because you need to believe in yourself, and it's really hard to do when you hear no so many times. So just have faith in yourself, have faith in what you know and your skills, and be open to any possibility. If I had told myself you were going to stay in marketing and PR and you're not going to consider anything else, I would never be in the job I'm in today. And I absolutely love my work now. So be resilient and be open. That's two things.
That's okay. Great advice. Lori, thanks for coming to the studio and sharing your story. You can learn more about Lori's job search by visiting maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories like Lori's. Every Friday, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who has found their dream job. And to find it, just again, go to maxlist.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you, our listeners, for downloading today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job.